Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this last week in Nigeria, the militant Muslim group Boko Haram made an announcement about a 15-year-old girl whom they had abducted from her school. They said that because she refused to renounce her Christian faith, they are going to keep her as a slave for life. Meanwhile, a Christian woman in Pakistan is currently awaiting a decision from the Pakistani Supreme Court. If they deny her appeal, she will be executed. And the reason? Because when she was being pushed by people in her village to convert to Islam, she told them that she trusted in Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, because Jesus died on the cross to save mankind from their sins, while Muhammad has done nothing to save us. So she was charged with blasphemy, convicted, and sentenced to death. Closer to home here in the United States, our lives might not be endangered by following Christ, but living a life dedicated to Christ and his word certainly can make a person's daily life more difficult, and it can also put a person's livelihood at risk. To offer just a couple examples, in the world of education, I have heard firsthand accounts of college students being belittled by their professors simply for saying that they believe what the Bible teaches. And in the business world, there are currently a florist in Washington, a calligrapher in Arizona, a graphic designer in Colorado, and two cinematographers in Minnesota, who are all in court for saying that they cannot, in good conscience, use their artistic talents to help celebrate same-sex weddings, because helping to celebrate those events would go against their deeply held Christian beliefs. And so they are in court and are at risk of going out of business simply for trying to peacefully follow Jesus and humbly walk in his ways. As these examples illustrate, seeking to faithfully follow Christ can be costly. Sometimes it's costly to a person's career or their relationships. Sometimes it involves loss of freedom, sometimes even the loss of life. So why would people be willing to bear those costs? What do people gain in Christ that could possibly outweigh those kinds of losses? Well, that question is the focus of this morning's gospel reading, as there Jesus speaks to us about what might be lost in following him and what we gain in him. Jesus begins by drawing our attention to one of the ways that we can easily go off track in our thinking about this. And he does that by making us aware of the dangers that come with becoming too attached to the things of this world. Jesus says how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. So why does Jesus say that? What is it about having wealth that can make it more difficult to enter the kingdom of God? Well, one reason is that when you have wealth, when you have an abundance of possessions, you tend to become overly concerned with holding on to what you have. You become so accustomed to it that the idea of being without it or having any less of it can be difficult to even consider. And that is a spiritual danger, because sometimes being faithful to the Lord can sometimes put our wealth or our possessions at risk. So if a person is too focused on making sure they hold on to their wealth, they may find themselves letting the riches of Christ slip right through their fingers. And in fact, an example of that was seen in the verses just before our gospel reading. There, Jesus had graciously called a wealthy young man to sell what he had and give the proceeds to the poor, and to then come and follow him, to come and join Jesus and his disciples on their mission. It was a gracious invitation. But instead, the man walked away from Jesus in sorrow, for he had great possessions, and those possessions had a great hold on his heart. And part of what makes that so tragic is that the man passed up the opportunity to follow Jesus, all so that he could hold on to something that he would ultimately lose anyway. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes, just as a person comes into this life with nothing, so we also leave this life with nothing. When it comes to worldly wealth or possessions, as they say, you can't take it with you. So to choose wealth over Christ is to value the temporary over the eternal. That is one way that we can easily go wrong in our thinking about the costs of following Christ. The temporary costs can loom so large in our minds that we weigh them more heavily than we do the eternal treasures that are found in Jesus Christ. Closely related to that is another reason that having wealth makes it difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven. One reason it can be so difficult to loosen our grip on whatever wealth or possessions we might have is that the more we have, the more self-sufficient we feel. And taken too far, that way of thinking can be spiritually perilous. A person can come to feel so self-sufficient, so independent, that they no longer feel a need even for God. That danger is brought out in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, where we find the following prayer. O God, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. As that prayer wisely acknowledges, if we do have too much, there is the risk that we might say, who is the Lord? Or in other words, we might find ourselves saying, who really needs the Lord? And in this, we see another way that it can be easy to go wrong in our thinking about the costs of following Christ. Just as we might hold too tightly to our money and our possessions, so we can also hold on too tightly to our sense of independence and pride and our need to feel that we are in control. Those things can be hard to let go of, but our wealth and our self-reliance can only go so far, and they cannot open for us the doors to the kingdom of heaven. In fact, we can't even bring them with us into the kingdom of heaven. We can't bring our wealth with us, and we also need to leave our pride and our self-reliance at the door. Whoever relies on themselves, whoever relies on their own merit, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. For we are saved not by anything that we do, but solely through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us undeserving sinners. So at the door of heaven, there is no room for pride or possessions. And that's why, as Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The desire to hold on to our pride and our possessions is so strong, in fact, that the only way we can break free of their hold on us is by a miracle of God's grace. As Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And so it is only by the work of God by the Holy Spirit working through God's word, that the eyes of our heart can be opened to rightly see how fleeting are the things of this world, and how illusory is our merit, and to see the riches of God's grace as the immeasurable, unending treasure that they are. That brings us to the next point that Jesus makes in our gospel reading. Having first taught us not to overweigh the temporary costs of following him, he also now helps us to see more clearly all that we gain in him. Jesus knew very well how costly following him could be. He knew that simply for following him, some would be disowned by their family and friends, some would lose their jobs and their homes, and many would lose their lives. And he wanted us to know that he well understands those costs, that any sacrifices we might make as we take up our crosses and follow him are deeply meaningful to him. And he wants us to know that it really is worth it. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." For the sake of Christ and the sake of the gospel, Jesus knew that some would be estranged from their families. But here he is assuring us that in Christ, they would gain a new family with brothers and sisters around the world, wherever the Christian church, the family of Christ, is found. I saw a poignant example of this a few years ago. When I lived in Montana, my family and I knew a young woman who had immigrated to America from Kyrgyzstan. She had grown up in a Muslim family, and she had been a Muslim herself until someone shared the gospel with her. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through that gospel, she was brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Sadly, because of her conversion to Christianity, her family would then have nothing to do with her. She didn't have any desire to be separated from her family, but because of her dedication to Christ, they separated themselves from her. But not long after that, halfway around the world, in a little country church, a Lutheran church in Montana, that same young woman found a new family, brothers and sisters in Christ who loved her and welcomed her, including especially one family in the church that unofficially adopted her, included her in all of their family holidays, even family reunions. Just as Jesus had said, although what she had lost was indeed difficult for her, in Christ she did indeed gain brothers and sisters and mothers and children, as well as churches and houses where she knew she would always be welcome, places that she knew she would always be at home. And so it is for all who are in Christ. Every believer in Christ has brothers and sisters and places they can know that they will be welcome almost anywhere that they might go in this world. So, as Jesus said, although following him can be costly, we do also find new blessings in him already in this life. The blessings of the gospel itself, and also the blessing of people who share in that with us. But as Jesus then went on to say, the greatest blessing that we gain in him is, as he said, in the age to come, eternal life. And here it's important to remember that following Christ does indeed sometimes cost a person their very life. Nearly all of Jesus' original disciples experienced that as they were killed for their dedication to Christ. And it continues today. As one estimate I've seen says that about 20 to 30 Christians are killed for their faith each day in the world today. But as Jesus said, although we might lose our life for him, we have eternal life in him. Remember Jesus' promise in the 11th chapter of John, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And remember the description that we are given in the 7th chapter of Revelation of what that life will be like. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beam down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Yes, following Christ can indeed be costly. But in Christ, we are freely given riches that are beyond compare. The immeasurable riches of Christ purchased for us on the cross with his very blood, forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, blessings in this life and beyond this life, ultimately, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. And unlike the fleeting things of this world that we cannot take with us, the treasures that we have in Christ, no one can take away from us. So let us take to heart Jesus' message to us today, that we would not let the fleeting things of this world come between us and our eternal Savior, Jesus Christ, and that our eyes would be opened to see anew just how precious, just how priceless are the blessings that we have in him. Blessings both in this time and for eternity. Blessings so great that we could never earn them. Blessings so great that only our gracious God can give them. All glory, honor, and praise be to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave up everything on the cross for us, so that the treasures of heaven can be ours in him. Amen. And the peace of God.